Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with my partner, Mark Pascal. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, and we're here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I had a very exciting start to my morning.
You mean when I couldn't press the button to start the show?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Green Onions is a beautiful song, and you should listen to it for a long, long
Jason
time.
Jason came into the window like, hey, where are you guys?
Wrong button, sorry. Welcome to the radio, everybody. How are you this morning, Mark?
I'm doing pretty good.
What are we talking about today?
We can talk about a lot of different things. I have all sorts of stuff. I know we got an email about somebody somebody asking us for some advice.
You know, and I responded to this email to the person directly. And I thought it was actually a number of correspondences, and the person sounds like they're really nice, and they have a great mission. The person's running an operation, a store, with food service, and you know things aren't going. They opened recently, and they're not happy with where things are exactly right now. And she said, you know, I want to make things better. And what should I do? And I said, well, you know, there's a large retail component to this, and our expertise is not in retail. And I said, well, you know, you can hire me to talk about restaurant stuff. But if you have some quick questions, email them to me, and I'll see if I can answer them on the air. So I answered them in person, and she had two questions. And one was, I need to hire a chef. And I'll tell everybody what I told her. We've had great success. If you're looking for a chef, that means like $45,000 a year and over. You know, you're looking for
at least
not necessarily an executive chef, but more than just the line cook from the local paper. The local paper is where you find your line cook. Okay, maybe the greater media papers, the Sentinel, the local whatever, or the Star Ledger, the state paper. But where you find a chef or an executive chef or a sous chef or a first cook kind of guy is I use ihirechefs.com. That's the letter I, hirechefs.com.
Right.
And we also use Star Chefs.
Star Chefs is another good resource.
You know, if you have the money to pay in a position worth coming for, you would be surprised at how many people will travel for that and how many people look at that online stuff, and it's actually a fairly inexpensive way to advertise. The second thing she said...
Hold on. Especially if you're producing a job that will challenge them, okay? And whether it will challenge them some way culinarily or it will challenge them to give them some kind of new skills. A lot of chefs, as they're molding their careers till they get towards the end of their career, what they're looking for is something that will cause them to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do, in this profession, it is an apprenticeship. And we've talked about how important that is to this profession. So chefs will go to a job that's interesting, that has something to teach them. They'll travel for that and maybe even not take as much money as they might take someplace else
if you're
offering that.
That leads me to the second question. And the other thing is, if you have friends in the business, when we're looking for somebody, we call around to our friends because you never know who has somebody who's looking to move forward. You don't have a position for them. Maybe you did a hiring recently and you took a friend took an ad out in the paper and got 200 resumes and hired somebody, but has, you know, 10 other resumes that were their second candidates.
Right.
And maybe one of those people is great for you. The late Frank Panico, who owned Panico's restaurant in New Brunswick, we used to do that with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, hey, I love Frank Panico. He'd say, hey, Frankie. He's the only guy who called me Frank. Frank Panico was a caricature of an Italian-American restaurateur, diamond pinky ring, loved the man, all right? And he had owned restaurants for a long time when we opened up, and he was very, very good to us. I was like, hey, Frankie, you got any resumes? Sure, Mr. Panico. I was Frankie. He was Mr. Panico. But it would work the other way as well.
Sure. He definitely sent us a lot of resumes. He sent us some people who he didn't hire for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And some really good people that just didn't fit the mold of his restaurant.
He always used to keep resumes on file, too.
Mm-hmm.
He
always
had a little ad out in the paper just fishing, you know, to see what's going on. The second question that the woman asked me, well, she said, and the second thing is, I think I need a partner. How do I go about finding one? And my answer to that is...
Take an ad out in the personals.
Oh, my.
Match.com.
you know, the number one, you know that restaurants fail. And there's hard evidence as to how badly restaurants fail and what percentage of restaurants succeed. The reality of the situation, and But the reality of the situation that I only have anecdotal evidence for, but I have 20 years of anecdotal evidence, is when restaurants make it financially and make it by the numbers, when the restaurants are profitable, the number one thing that will cause an otherwise profitable restaurant to fail is the partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Start making money, you think your partner's screwing you. Maybe your partner is screwing you. You're taking a little here. Well, if he does that, I'm going to do
this. Or you just want to go in two different directions. I mean, there are a million reasons why after 10 years of partnership that worked when you were a fledgling corporation doesn't work 10 years later. There's a million reasons.
And I need everyone out who's listening to the show to understand that Mark is a complete pain in my butt.
Yes.
I don't like him at all. However, part of it is trust. Part of it is, you know, if there's a bag of money, and mm-hmm. I just leave a bag of money on Mark's desk, I say, here, count this and give me my half. And if you can't trust your partner like that, then you can't. Now, we're talking about an operations partner.
I'm going to say that that's where it starts, okay? The number one quality that your partner must possess is you must completely trust them, okay? And I'm not just talking even financially.
Mm-hmm.
You must trust their instincts, although you can question a decision or question how things are going to go and yell and argue and scream about stuff.
Really? Partnerships do that, Mark?
But the number one thing, especially in a cash business like the restaurant business, it's not so much cash business anymore, but 10 or 15% of your income is going to come in through cash, depending on the type of business. If you have a pizzeria, it's going to be 90%. You know, a restaurant like ours, it's going to be 7%. But some portion of your income is going to come in through cash. And you have to have complete trust, not to mention the fact that somebody's going to pay the bills of that corporation.
Right.
And if you don't completely trust them, then...
The other thing is, it's not just about that. It's about work styles. It's about, do you think that everything needs to be perfect and neat? And does your partner think, well, as long as we get it done, it's better to do more or less neat? I mean, there are a million different little things. And if you're going to be a partner in a small business, you're going to work with somebody 50, 60, 70. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the worse it gets, the more you'll be working together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a very unique thing. And frankly, I don't know how you can take on an operational partner in the middle unless it's someone you know very well. Mark and I worked together for 4 years and were best friends for 5 years before that or 3 years before that. And you know, it's rough, man. Mm-hmm. Even for us, it's been. I mean, I think we're sort of over that now. You know, we just don't care anymore. Yeah, you know? But there were some rough times, and so partnerships you need to take them very carefully.
The other quality that I think is important is you cannot be or shouldn't be, in order to have the best partnership, exact clones of one another. Mm-hmm. You need to feel like the other person brings something to the table that you don't have.
Yeah, well, when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking with the editor of Joy Manning, who's the editor of Philadelphia Style Magazine, which is a really slick publication from the city of brotherly love with a big food section, and it's a pretty exciting city to talk about. So stay tuned for her. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. You know, there's this town south of us. It's called Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Joy Manning is the senior editor at Philadelphia Style magazine. Joy handles the Philadelphia Style food and drink and life in the city sections. She's keeping up to date in the city of brotherly love, and she's here to speak with us about her greatest passion, restaurants, culture, and Philly.
Hi.
Hi, Joy.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. So Philadelphia, from a style perspective, has really come a long way in the last 20 years, wouldn't you say?
It sure has. We've had at least one, but probably two, restaurant renaissances here in Philly.
And your restaurant renaissances there in Philly are a little different than, I think, you know, I want to talk about one thing that I think is really interesting. If you live in the area, Philadelphia, in their restaurants, like New Jersey, Philadelphia is a city, like New Jersey is a state, mm-hmm. has a plethora of bring your own restaurants, whereas mm-hmm. in New York and Chicago, I mean, the great restaurants are all liquor licensed restaurants. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
It seems to be a growing. It seems to be a growing fad.
You have Philadelphia is the only city that has a BYOB category in its Zagat survey. Your BYOBs
well,
are pretty
I think
hot.
I'm sorry.
No, it's actually your BYOBs are pretty hot. Why is that?
I think that it started out because of how the liquor laws are in Philadelphia. It's kind of hard to get a liquor license, and there's a lot of restrictions on serving booze at your restaurant. So I think some creative restaurateurs thought that they could sort of turn lemons into lemonade and change it into something that consumers actually really seek out and enjoy. And today we certainly have many BYOs where the food is the focus, and people actually really enjoy bringing something from their own wine collection because it cuts down on the cost and they can still enjoy some of the best meals in the city.
Yeah, I don't think it's even just the cost. And I want to just, we have a lot of podcasters from around the country and a lot of people from New Jersey who might not understand the Pennsylvania liquor laws, exactly how they work. In Pennsylvania, if you own a restaurant or a liquor store, unlike in New Jersey or a lot of other states where you go and buy wholesale, in Pennsylvania, if you own a liquor store or a wine shop or a restaurant, you go and shop at those same stores at the same prices as the regular consumer.
Right, the restaurant buys retail.
So almost always you can expect to see egregious prices at restaurants compared to what you pay in a liquor store. And at the same time, you don't have the selection that a lot of other states have because you have a liquor control board that brings in only certain wines,
but
New York, New Jersey, we bring in, you know,
everything.
Every important wine in the world.
But the situation is getting better in liquor license places, isn't it, Joy?
Yeah, I think that it is. We definitely have. I know the owners of our Pennsylvania Wine and Spirit shops try really hard to bring in better and better stuff all the time, and I think that we are seeing a better selection in those stores. And people obviously like to shop for their bargains at their mm-hmm. state store and then bring what they find to the BYOs,
mm-hmm.
which obviously the state store has a better selection than basically any restaurant with a wine list can have.
Well, now, tell us about Philadelphia Style magazine. How has it sort of grown up, and is there a Philadelphia Style?
And I'm just going to interrupt Francis for 1 second before you answer this question.
Sure.
The difference between this magazine and just a few years ago mm-hmm. is tremendous. I mean, this is a real and serious publication where it was less so not that long ago.
I'm not sure if it was less serious in the past, but it certainly has been developing according to what our readers want and how Philadelphia itself is growing up. People here are getting more and more sophisticated, and I think our magazine is coming to reflect that. We see people wanting to know more about stylish, upscale, mm-hmm. young, hip places to go out, products for their home, things to do around the city, and I think we have just come to reflect that more and more. As the city becomes more sophisticated, so do we.
I think that's very fair.
You, how much of your attention, not yours specifically, but of the magazine, how much of the magazine is driven by food and restaurants and bars and places like that?
I would say that that's maybe 20% of what we do. We cover a lot of ground in Philadelphia Style. We have all types of arts and culture events in the city. We have a big section devoted to home and design, things for entertaining, things for decorating your house. We have a great health and beauty section that, you know, it runs the gamut from what lipsticks are, you know, you should be wearing this season to really important health issues, articles about fitness. So we certainly cover plenty of ground in Philadelphia Style, but we're usually a pretty thick magazine, and there's always information on the newest restaurants that have opened and trends that we're seeing.
I do usually skip the lipstick articles, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
You usually do?
I almost always.
I'm kind of an autumn. I'm kind of an autumn. Although there are some guys, and they buy magazines too, who read about lipstick. But now, do you do actual restaurant reviews in every publication, and you have a standard critic that reviews all the time, or is it more feature articles on restaurants?
We do both. We have reviews in every issue, and more we're trying to cover the brand new restaurants, the places you must try now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want our readers to know we're bi-monthly. So over the next 2 months, if you're only going to go out 4 times, what are the 4 places you should definitely hit? So that's sort of the focus of our reviews. Although we do feature an ultimate guide,
mm-hmm.
where if you are, let's say you're living in New Jersey and you're coming over one weekend in a month and you want to find out what's the best place to go and you know what neighborhood you're visiting, you can just look through our ultimate guide and pick a place that we recommend and be confident that you're going to be getting a great meal, great service, great time.
And when we come back, I want to talk more with Joy Manning. She's senior editor at Philadelphia Style magazine. And Philadelphia is a city that's gone through, I would say, more changes even than New York in the last 15 years or
Definitely.
So. Because it's sort of come from a city that was sort of a quiet, you know, it was a big, small town. And now there's really a cool urban vibe down there, and I think Philadelphia Style has its finger on the pulse of that. We'll be back in just a moment talking more with Joy Manning of Philadelphia Style. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
The place, Brooklyn, New York, post-World War II. An Italian-American woman named Catherine Lombardi cooks for her family. What's so special about that? Well, lots. Food was central back then. Good food handed down from the traditions of two countries. Food that filled the whole house with the sweet smells of garlic, tomato, and basil. No matter when you stopped by or who you were sure to be fed and fussed over. Catherine showed her love on the plate and out of the pot. Any who were lucky enough to receive it never forgot. This is Mark Pascal from the Restaurant Guys Radio Show and Stage Left. I've just opened Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, and its mission? To live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. So come by the bar, sit by the fire. Have some fresh mozzarella and antipasto. The manicotti and tortelloni are amazing, and the veal chop will make you cry. Our wine list, of course, without parallel. We've got to live up to the standards set by Catherine Lombardi. You see, Catherine Lombardi was my grandmother. Come let me show you where I came from.
Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in New Brunswick, 732-296-9463 or CatherineLombardi.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Catherine Lombardi and Stage Left Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. Our guest today is Joy Manning. She's a senior editor at Philadelphia Style Magazine, and we're talking about the city of brotherly love. Joy, we've talked about how Philly has changed in the last 20 years, and I think it's really started to take its place as culturally as a real urban, northeast urban center. I mean, it's always been, obviously, since the Declaration of Independence, an important northeast urban center, but, you know, stylistically, it's really become a lot more sophisticated. I mean, to what do you attribute that?
To what do I attribute that?
Yeah.
I think that people just have a really, we're a city of people with great taste. More and more people here in Philly are interested in the arts. People, of course, are traveling back and forth to New York all the time, so they go to New York, they find something new, and then we want it here.
Mm-hmm.
And our restaurateurs especially are just responding to that demand. Take, you know, something like Crudo, which is Italian sushi, basically.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty hot in New York for a couple of years, and now we're seeing it here in Philadelphia at places like Positano Coast, down in Old City. And that's just one trend that Philadelphia is right on the heels of New York in terms of what we're finding in our restaurants.
You know, there's one trend actually where you're leading New York and that's in the gastro pub arena.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So why don't you tell us about that?
Philadelphia has had gastro pubs before anyone was saying the word gastro pub. If you look at a place like North Third or Standard Tap, even in further south in Philly, the Royal Tavern. These are places with great chefs, and it's really a laid-back. We actually featured gastropubs in our magazine a couple issues back.
Why don't you tell everybody what a gastropub is?
A gastropub is basically your neighborhood bar, a comfortable place where people come after work and or on the weekends and jeans. It's definitely laid-back, and people are drinking with their friends, having pints of beer, but there's also this really great, really creative food being served by a serious chef.
Mm-hmm.
And prices are generally much less than you would expect to pay in a higher-end restaurant, but still what you're getting is quality, creative, cutting-edge food in a comfortable neighborhood setting.
And I think the key word there is creative, because mm-hmm. most gastropubs have really creative intellectual cuisine.
And a lot of our gastropubs are part of the Farm to City program, where they get their ingredients from a local farm. So that's sort of just another aspect of what makes it creative and special.
Now the gastropub movement started really in England and Ireland, you know, and has moved across the Atlantic, and it's sort of been slow to take hold in New York. There are one or two, but in Philadelphia, I mean, it really did percolate throughout, and that's a great way to experience great food. Yeah, I mean, that's great. It's a great way to experience great food in a very casual setting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Philadelphians are you know, one of the things I noticed about Philadelphia is they're a little less club-oriented and a little more casual. Do you think that's
I do think that's true. Philadelphia has really a long history of blue-collar roots, and I would never say that we're a blue-collar town anymore, but we do have that feeling of wanting to kick back and relax and, you know, blow off some steam and have fun and not necessarily want to be, you know, all serious about clubbing and...
Well, we're going to let the listeners kick back and relax and listen to the news, but when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Joy Manning, senior editor at Philadelphia Style Magazine. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1130.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Today, our guest is Joy Manning. She's a senior editor at Philadelphia Style magazine. Joy, we were talking about Philadelphia before, and you know, we're talking about the particular vibe that Philadelphia has. It's a pretty significant city. You know, it's a big city, but it's got a really laid-back sort of vibe to it. And you were talking before about how it sort of comes from it being a very, you know, having blue-collar roots. I mean, how do you think that the Philadelphia style is different than the style of other major cities? Joy? Is Joy on the line?
Hello?
Hi, sorry.
I was about to answer for you,
we
Joy.
We lost you there, Joy.
Oh. So what I was saying is that even when Philadelphia goes upscale, gets really sleek and stylish, we do it in a way that's kind of laid back in itself a lot of the times. We just had a new restaurant open down here, actually in the neighborhood where our office is, called Ansel, and they were previously a real homey, comfort food type of place, and now it's a European wine and snack bar,
mm-hmm.
but it's still the type of place that you can go and have a quiet conversation, you can dress up or dress down, so it definitely has that relaxed feel about it, even though it's very elegant and sophisticated.
Now you have your own restaurant phenomenon down there known as Steven Starr, who owns,
sure do.
Who owns 12 restaurants down there. Mm-hmm. Now, his restaurants seem to have a lot of his restaurants. I've been to Tangerine,
mm-hmm.
Was the last one I was, and I was sort of, there was a real hot vibe there going on. I felt a little too old for it, to be honest with you, but
Steven Starr, you know, everybody can go to have fun at a Steven Starr restaurant. They are ultra cool, ultra hip, really stylish, but I think still welcoming to
uh-huh.
see all kinds of people there.
You know, I thought it was interesting that we read an interview with Steven Starr where he said that in his restaurants in Philadelphia, a lot of his profitability comes from cocktails and
mm-hmm.
beverage and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the state of the cocktail scene down there? I mean, the wine scene is catching up, but what's going on with cocktails in Philly?
Well, Steven Starr is definitely the king of the cocktail scene in Philadelphia. His drinks are so much fun, so original. I know at Tangerine they have their signature drink. It's the Tangerini. It's a tangerine-flavored martini, and there's, of course, the Buzz Aldrin, which is popular at both continental locations, which is rimmed with Tang and is a bright orange drink. So we definitely have plenty of fun cocktail culture here in the city, and Steven Starr, you know, he doesn't have the market cornered, but it's definitely his places are...
It's his town. I wouldn't mess with him in Philadelphia.
He's
sure.
definitely got a stranglehold on the... On the major restaurant scene down there.
So what are the hot places we need? And by the way, we should let everybody know, we are talking with Joy Manning, senior editor at Philadelphia Style magazine. We're going to put a link up to Philadelphia Style on our website, restaurantguysradio.com, so you can go find the magazine if you're traveling to Philly. Which brings me to the point, in New York, we have a lot of what we call bridge and tunnel people,
mm-hmm.
you know? So a lot of the New York publications write about New York and what's going on in New York because so many people in Connecticut and Long Island and New Jersey...
They're catering to this kind of whole tri-state area when
because
a lot
of our cultural life, you know, if you live in a bedroom community in northern Jersey, you use the city for your cultural life. Do you find the same thing goes on with Philadelphia and your magazine?
What do you mean that?
Are you drawing people from New Jersey? Or are you trying
almost
to appeal
definitely.
To?
South Jersey is part of the family in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's even a closer tie than North Jersey is to New York, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, of course we see people coming in from Jersey sometimes every day. To people go out here, they have their special occasions here. Not that there's not great places in Jersey, because there is, but so many people who live in Jersey work in Philly that it's like a second home city
mm-hmm.
for them.
Well, all my South Jersey friends are Phillies fans, so
definitely.
So I try not to hold it against them, though.
Now, you have coming up the Best of Style issue, right?
Yep, that'll be our very next issue on newsstands.
Well, now, why don't you tell us about the Best of Style? What is the Best of Style?
Unlike a lot of other magazines, when they do their Best of issue, we turn all those decisions over to our readers. So this is our second year. We conducted a huge reader poll. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 people responded to
That's
our
great.
Questionnaire. And we have over 90 categories where our readers weighed in on what they think is the best.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all retail, shopping, dining, nightlife, local personalities, all those types of categories are going to be featured in that next issue.
And so do we know who the nominees are at least, or is this all just going to come out on the next issue?
It will be out. It's going to be a pretty exciting announcement when we release the next issues. We didn't have a situation where we had nominees and then the readers picked from the nominees.
Mm-hmm.
The readers picked, you know, right from the very beginning. They wrote in, we tallied the votes, and their picks are our winners.
You know, I think that's great. You know, there's a publication in New Jersey called New Jersey Monthly Magazine, which mm-hmm. does a reader's choice poll very mm-hmm. much like that. And it's always very interesting to see what comes out. Thankfully, we're usually in the top three restaurants with our restaurant stage left.
Mm-hmm.
But it's curious for us now, because we have opened a new restaurant this year, and I don't know that it's been around long enough. We had opened in November. They did the polling in January.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't around long
I'm
enough.
I'm sure so. Nobody's even mentioned it. But it's also interesting the power that a magazine like that has, especially when it's a reader's choice poll.
Sure.
We had the great good fortune in 94 of we sort of, stage left won. We were the best restaurant in Central Jersey.
You mean 04?
04.
2004.
Sorry.
94, long time ago.
Trying to get my youth back. But we won. We were the stage left was the best restaurant in Central Jersey, and it took every relevant category. Best new American, best romantic dining,
wow.
best business dining, best service, best wine list. And let's just say the impact on business was pretty cool.
Well, I think,
yeah, I bet you're still feeling it.
Yeah, we are. But, you know, I think that whenever you do a survey of readers, a survey of actual people as opposed to one critic's choice or even two critics' choices, I think that that brings a little bit more
response, perhaps.
Well, not response, but credibility, I'll say, to the survey. You have 7,000 readers who are reading this, and you know, who knows better than the 7,000 people going to the restaurants?
What's your?
Even when we don't agree with them, we have to admit that that's what people want to have. That's where people want to get their coffee. That's the place that people think is the best Italian restaurant in the city. So even if we as editors don't agree, we still feel it's really important to let the readers know what the readers think.
Yeah, the only problem that I see with it is that sometimes I think you may have the restaurant with better publicity does better in those kinds of polls. But other than that, I think that they do have a lot more credibility.
Yeah, and then that's great information for our readers that they are looking for a place where they want to get their hair cut, or they need to find a wine bar, or they need to figure out where even to go to the movies. We have lots of useful information for our readers.
All right, so let me ask you, editor's choice, you being the editor, what is the best Italian restaurant in Philadelphia right now? Pick your number one.
It's really hard for me to pick because we have so many really different restaurants. We have upscale restaurants.
Give us a couple that you really like.
Well,
I'll let you off the hook.
Wow, Mark.
For Italian?
Yeah, for Italian. Top two. That's all you get, two.
Oh, I only get two?
Two, Italian.
Well, we have a really great, I just moved myself personally, and I moved into South Philly. So there's tons of Italian restaurants right around where I live now. So I've been trying a lot of those out. And for inexpensive Italian, there's a place called Maris. These are both on East Passyunk Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
They have awesome pizza. They've been open since the 1930s, and I think probably the pizza gets better every year.
Okay.
And there's a sort of a newer, hipper place, more expensive, really classy, called Paradiso. And they have excellent pastas, excellent seafood dishes, really good new world Italian stuff that it's a younger crowd and definitely, like I said, a little more expensive, but nice.
We're going to put those two things up on our website. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Joy Manning. She's the senior editor at Philadelphia Style Magazine, in charge of the food and the drink and the life in the city sections. We're going to be talking about life in the city of brotherly love in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:45. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to RestaurantGuysRadio.com and click on the Mardini Group link, or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants. Today, our guest is Joy Manning, Senior Editor at Philadelphia Style Magazine.
Joy, a little while ago, you touched on the fact that the South Philly Italian restaurant scene. And we talked earlier about gastropubs in the show. Are there other neighborhood restaurant phenomenons that are happening, cuisines that are happening in Philly?
I don't think there is any phenomenon that, well, even for Italian in South Philly, it's not really something that's specific to neighborhoods. Philadelphia is sort of like a network of neighborhoods, so usually what you see in one neighborhood you'll see popping up in a bunch of others, but we definitely have a lot of tapas, small plates, restaurants popping up. That's something that we're seeing all over the city. We have everything from conventional Spanish tapas to there's a place that serves Israeli tapas, and even places that don't do tapas are sort of introducing smaller plate menus, so people like to try things and nibble on things. So that's something that we're seeing all across the city.
But while we're on the topic of neighborhoods, one of the things I find that's happening in Manhattan, for example, is that in Manhattan, prices have gotten so high that I think that, not just restaurants, but I think that overall, to live in the neighborhoods of Manhattan, except for some of the very outskirts, and even the nearer neighborhoods of Brooklyn, frankly, I think it's less interesting than it was 10 years ago because prices are so high. Basically, if you're not rich, you can't afford to live there.
That's definitely. I used to live in Manhattan, so I appreciate that difference every day when it comes to being able to afford a place to live or afford a lunch or afford a nice dinner out. It's really a lot better in Philly, I think, and like you said, more interesting.
Do you think that there's still that neighborhood dynamic, as even in the center city, in the city, as you go from place to place, that there are different neighborhoods that sort of hang out at the local pub and know each other?
Definitely. Neighborhoods here have such distinct characters. You know, we have such good gastropubs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess this is maybe even a little bit of a disadvantage to having all these great neighborhoods, because if you love your own little neighborhood gastropub, you might not ever get to that one that's two neighborhoods over.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a familiarity to that, and definitely relationships that you find.
Uh-huh.
But it's also, I do it because it's part of my job to try all kinds of different places and to travel to see, you know, new chefs, new restaurants. But I know some people will just stick to their own corner gastropub every week for all time.
We have that same kind of hateful job where we have to go from place to place and try stuff.
Yeah, it is. Well, no, it's funny because I used to live in the East Village in Manhattan as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, I lived in New Brunswick and in the East Village because I was working here. But I had an apartment there for a long time, and I watched it change. And, mm-hmm. and you would, you know, see people from the neighborhood, all sorts of different types of people from the neighborhood, and that's less and less so, you know?
Well, I think part of the reason is to start up a business in Manhattan is, in and of itself, an exponentially more expensive proposition than here in Philly, where mm-hmm. rents and prices of properties are cheaper. So you get more young entrepreneurs starting out, and they have big creative ideas that, you know, are more interesting.
And I also think I like the vibe, because I we do go to Philly quite a bit, and there are sort of restaurants that have a citywide draw and outside the city draw. My next big stop is to go to Vetri.
Oh.
Which I want to talk to you about in a moment. But, you know, the thing is, when we have friends in Philly, and we'll go to the local place, and you really do feel like most of the people there are from around the corner,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a nice,
and they know each other.
Yeah, that's a nice vibe. I like it, and I think that's different than almost anything I find in Manhattan. I see it in neighborhoods in Brooklyn, but not in Manhattan.
We see it in New Jersey a lot, but not so much in Philly.
Even though people know each other, they're still really welcoming to a stranger, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So talk to me about Vetri. This is the next place on my list to hit.
Well, I hope you make your reservation well in advance.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Vetri, Mark Vetri, obviously gets so much attention from the media all around the country, and he is in the forefront of cooking. And his restaurant is definitely one of our best. It's one of the only places to get the 4-bell rating from Craig Leban. And
mm-hmm.
A lot of people would say that it's the best restaurant in the city. So you should definitely go and
Well, we had Craig LeBond on the show, and we were talking to him, and I started the show by saying, so I've done a lot of reading about you, Craig. Is it true that you're the meanest man in Philadelphia?
They say he can make or break a restaurant.
Yeah, well, he said that he was hoping that he was the meanest man in Philadelphia.
Does Style have a meanest person in the city category when you do your best ofs?
No, Style ourselves, we're not mean. We never want to, you know, there's enough meanness and negativity in the world and in the media. We just want to focus on the things that are great about the city, and there are plenty of them.
Okay.
So we'll leave some other magazine to cover the meanest person in Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, now, what's going on in Philadelphia? What are we looking for in the future as far as stylist trends? What are we going to see in the next 5 years coming out of Philly?
Here in Philadelphia? Well, I think, like National Geographic magazine recently pointed out, we're in the next great city. I think we're going to see people relocating here permanently from New York, I think, and other places, of course. I think we're going to see more young, educated professionals sticking around and starting businesses, and I think we're just going to see a lot more of the type of growth that we've had in the past few years. It's getting bigger and better here all the time.
Well, Joy, I have to tell you, we love the direction of your magazine.
Thank you.
As much as we love the direction of your city, so which is why we invited you to be on the show today.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much. I'm glad to be able to tell your listeners about Philadelphia and our restaurants and our magazine.
Well, and more than that, we're going to ask our listeners, because we do podcasts, and I'm sure we have a lot of listeners in Philadelphia. Actually, I'm going to ask anybody who's listening in Philly to drop us an email, francis@restaurantguysradio.com or mark@restaurantguysradio.com. And we'll link you to Philadelphia Style Magazine. Joy Manning is the guest today. I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Joy.
She runs a pretty amazing magazine, and looking at what it was years ago, it's a lot more polished. It's a really full magazine, and it does parallel the growth of the city, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I was a few months back, we got a Philadelphia Style magazine, and I had gotten it years and years ago, and we got one, and I was like, oh, Philadelphia Style magazine, that was a cute little magazine. I got it, and I was like, what have they done?
Well, and it's also like Philadelphia is now. I mean, our partner, Lou Rivero, who's the third partner in Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants, has always been a big fan of Philly. And, you know, 20 years ago or 17 years ago when we became friends and partners, I would poo-poo him a lot. Well, I'm eating my words a little bit now. It's a pretty great place to go and eat. When we come back, we're going to be talking just a little bit more about Philadelphia and food trends overall and an organization that's come about to help people eat locally and celebrate that fact. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick. You know, one of the topics that we talked about with our guest, Joy Manning, who's the editor at Philadelphia Style Magazine, was the existence of BYOs. You know, and they have a lot of bring-your-own restaurants in Philadelphia, as we have a lot of bring-your-own restaurants in Jersey. And part of that is because Philadelphia has very difficult liquor laws. And so to get a license to be able to serve your own wine is somewhat difficult. And then if you own a restaurant, you need to buy it in a store, basically, and pay cash for it up front to sell it. So,
just to give you an example of what you might see pricing-wise, a bottle of wine that you'd expect to see in a liquor store in New Jersey for, let's say, $15, you would see in a restaurant for $28-$30. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bottle of wine that you see in a store for $15 is probably $50 or $60 in a Philadelphia restaurant. And that's a big difference.
And what the restaurateur can do is some restaurants I've seen in Philadelphia keep the prices low to try and be competitive overall, but they literally make no money on wine. So what's the motivation
So you might as well be a BYO.
To do that.
By the time you stock the inventory, by the time you account for waste or loss or breakage or theft.
But there's an issue there. Why the greatest restaurants in America the top restaurants in America, none of them are BYO.
All have liquor licenses, correct.
Because without the revenue from liquor, you cannot pay to have the staff there you need, the linen there you need, the glassware you need. You know, fine dining restaurants overall, and this is no joke, fine dining restaurants overall that are operating at ideal profitability keep 10%. That sounds ridiculous. Like, I paid $200 for dinner for two. The restaurant got $20. Well, exactly.
But you brought up a key point just a second ago. If I want to drink my $200 bottle of wine out of a nice glass, well, if I'm not putting anything to the restaurant's bottom line by drinking wine, then why would the restaurant buy me a $16 glass to drink out of?
Right, $16 glass that's fragile.
That's going to break one out of every 10 times that it's used.
That's interesting. I think.
Why would a restaurant do that? They wouldn't. And the answer is, well, then you're never going to drink out of the best glassware at a BYO restaurant.
But I think BYOs have a place, and you and I go to them often and bring stuff from our home, but so do the finest restaurants.
I usually bring my own glasses, though, too.
You're right, we do. Well, I hope you enjoyed the hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.